see you. I want to talk to you today about three most powerful words. Now, you could come up with three of your most powerful words, but I want you to keep these things in your heart, and I promise you they will help you, and they will keep you, because we hear so much today. Listen, I just saw this statistic this week. It says the average person hears 25,000 words in one day. And many hear much more than that. You will say, well, you know, I don't hear that many words. What do you do in your head? And maybe you talk to yourself. I don't know. But I'm going to say you hear a lot of words. The average would be 25,000 words in one day. And there are 3 billion Instagram users. 3 billion. There's only 300 million people in America. And there's 8.5 billion people in the world. Okay, so 8 billion people. Now you've got 3 billion people. All of America plus. 3 billion Instagram users. That means billions of voices are speaking all different things. And there are billions of thoughts coming off the website, coming off. Facebook, can you imagine? All of the social media that we have, all of the voices, all of the thoughts, everyone's opinions coming into our minds, filtrating our hearts and minds. So I think these three words are so important because there's just absolutely so much information out there, so much information and so little truth. I mean, people don't even know what to believe anymore. One man said to me the other day, he says, well, he says, I have my own truth. He says, Pastor Paulette, you have your truth, I have my truth. I said, yeah, they have their truth, and the homeless man has his truth, and everybody has a truth. But brother, can I tell you, this is the only truth. That's it. So whenever you see something and somebody is trying to convince you that your theology is wrong or your faith that you grew up on is wrong, you better go back here and figure it out. Don't be listening to one of those 25,000 voices that go off in your head, because this culture has gone off the rails, amen? I mean, it's just out there. And I don't know about you. Well, I probably do, because we're all just people, but I wrestle with some of those things of the culture. You know, you just hear so much, and you'll just start wrestling with that. But again, the only truth that we have is the word of the Lord. And we hear that, and we can measure everything that we hear by the word of God. And if somebody has stumped you with a certain theology or a crazy word, you say, I can't find the answer in the word. Well, call me or call somebody that you know might be able to help you find that answer, and we will help you. You can get it. It'll be right there in the word. So here's what it said in Romans 1, and I'm not going to have you go there with me. I'm just going to paraphrase. But the Bible says this: they have exchanged. They made an exchange. They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You know, I hear people say today, oh, they have changed the truth of God to a lie. No, they haven't changed the truth. They'd like to change. They're trying to change the truth. That marriage is between two men or two women. No, it can't. No, the truth says it's between one man and one woman. That God made man and he made woman, and that's the only ones that it says he made besides the animals. So go back and measure it by the word of the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether you like it. It doesn't matter whether you approve it. Doesn't matter whether it offends you. If it's a word of the Lord, that's the final say. That's it. He didn't ask you what you thought. Well, I'm making a male and a female. Should I make one more? He didn't ask anybody. He is God. He created the universe. Wisdom, Jesus himself said, I was there before he created the heavens, before he created the earth, before the oceans were even there. Oh, he just mentions everything in Proverbs 8 and 9. Jesus' wisdom says, oh, I was there. So you cannot say they have changed the word of God into a lie. They haven't changed anything. They cannot change what God has said. No, he says, I knew you in your mother's womb before you were born. That's it. I knew you then, which means you were a person. He put you there. You came from him. Okay, so we can talk about marriage, and we can talk about all these debatable things today and political things, but we can talk all we want, but you cannot change God's truth. But God said you can exchange it for a lie. So that's what these people are doing today. They're exchanging good for evil and evil for good. He said that would happen. So they're just exchanging God's truth for a lie. But they never change the truth. It's still going to stand whether they like it or not. So I'll just say to you today, be careful what you hear and always measure it by the word. If it doesn't sound good to you, without a doubt, it's not good. Okay? Just keep it easy. Just if it doesn't sound good, check it out in the Word of God. And the only way that you're going to know what this says is to read it. Read it every single day. Because you don't know what you're going to run onto at Save Mart. Somebody may have a question for you or need something out of this word, and just, well, I don't know where it is. Well, pick it up and read it, and the Holy Spirit will lead you. Okay, read the Psalms. Start reading in the book of John. Just read. Read the Proverbs. But read something every single day to feed your spirit, because wherever you go, believe me, you are going to need the truth of this word, because there isn't much truth in this earth right now. All kinds of comments and opinions and all of that are out there. All right, so let's look at Acts 21 first. We'll go to Acts chapter 21. I'll just read you a little short version here you may be familiar with, maybe not, but it'll speak. Acts 21, verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt and he bound up his own hands and his own feet. And he says, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard this, these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go, don't go. Look what they're going to do to you. They're going to bind you up. Paul, please don't go. That was his friends. That was the people of God. Verse 13. Then Paul answered, what do you mean? What do you mean, don't go? What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 14. This is what I want you to get. Now when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. So they could not persuade Paul. I mean, they just couldn't persuade him. They were telling him, don't go up. You're going to get bound up. They'll put you in prison. They'll put you in jail. They'll torture you. Paul says, what are you talking about? This is the reason I'm here. Not only am I willing to go, I'm willing to die if I have to for the Lord Jesus. But when they said we could not persuade him, look at that verse 14. So when they saw that they couldn't persuade him, they shut up talking. It says they ceased. They were just quieted. So there's something about you being persuaded with something that it'll cause those voices to cease in your head. So stop allowing your friends and people around you to persuade you. Yeah, but they're Christians, but you watch out. What has the Lord told you? All right, so let's take a look at Romans 8. And let me just show you something else here, according to the word of the Lord. Romans 8, verse 32. You know, I just don't know how to read one verse. And it just doesn't matter. I'll just read what I feel ought to read here. Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, they're talking about God. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So it's saying, if God did that, wouldn't he give you and me all things? Somebody say amen. Yes, he will. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Because it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is it? Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? So Jesus even prays for us. Sometimes I just say, Jesus, will you pray for me? Listen, he's your best intercessor. He and the Holy Spirit. I know sometimes we pick up the phone, call our friends. But sometimes it's just good to say, Jesus, I need you to pray for me. Because it says he makes intercession for us. Verse 35. Now look at this, church. This is so powerful. Some of you may not have ever read this before, but I am delighted and happy and honored to read this to you for the first time and introduce you to it. Paul says, now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Somebody say, oh yeah, it separates me all the time. I get mad at God. If I get persecuted, you know, how many times do you hear somebody have a little bad luck and they're like, I'm just plain mad at God? Well, Paul says, but who shall separate us from him? He said, even a tribulation can't do that, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness. All right, look at verse 37. Yet in all these things, and Paul and these men had gone through everything. Jesus was whipped 39 stripes. Paul was whipped 3 times with 39 stripes. He was shipwrecked. His faith was attacked all the time. And here's what Paul says about it, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not by our own accord, but through him. Here's your 3 most important words in the whole world. Verse 38. Not four, but the next 3 words. For Paul says, I am what? I am persuaded. He said, I am absolutely convinced, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. He said nothing. And he said, I am persuaded of that. I know it. Wanda, I believe it may have been your great-grandpa or daddy that used to stand up out at Calvary Assembly when I was a little girl. And I remember that testimony above everyone else's testimony. He would say, I hope, if I'm wrong, you can tell me. But I'm glad that I know 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 that Jesus has saved me. I mean, those old people, they just knew it. And nobody convinced them of any other thing. You couldn't talk them off of that. Your grandpa, he never left that. For years, he's still saying it. And here, You know, little whippersnapper like me, still remembering that. Because you know what? You know what? Now I know that I know that I know that I know, and you know, and you know, and we've never lost our I know, and it's still I know. And nobody has been able to persuade us any other way. I see what you all have been through. I've seen the stuff you've been through, like, maybe not like Paul or these hostages, but boy, we have been through our stuff. The devil hates you. And he's constantly trying to bombard our minds with why that won't happen. And he's always bringing another lie. If you listen to him, let me tell you, church, he will stop you from expecting God to answer you. Don't y'all act like a Presbyterian bunch. I mean, he will lie to you in every fashion. And if you believe those lies and you don't recognize that they are coming from hell and they're coming from an evil spirit, then you will never expect to get your answer, and then you won't, because you don't expect anything. So you must quit listening to your backslidden friends, your co-workers. If you've got a problem, don't talk to somebody that's not saved. Don't talk to anyone that doesn't know that they know that they know that they know. Hey, just you love them. Love them, hug their neck, be good to them, but you go talk to somebody else. All right? So you can't talk to non-Christians, your co-workers. Please don't go to backslidden friend. Well, they know. They slid out of the church. Man, I'll tell you what. When we were on the road, I used that anointing oil. And years and years, still sometimes I use it. But you know what I noticed? My goodness. You could just pour that oil on people until they got so oily they just slide out the door. And they slide out and still be just as hateful as they were before they got anointed. Well, I'll go. Diane, you know. All right. But there's just too many weakened Christians. Too many Christians are just weak. And I think it could be because, like Paul, they're not persuaded. Three powerful words. I am persuaded. And it just has to be like that in your church, in your home, in your life, in your faithfulness to your wife, to your husband, to your children. You just got to know we're here. Divorce is not an option. Leaving is not an option. This is not an option. We just take care of business. There's standards to keep. But we got to know that Satan's always trying to pull us back by those 25,000 voices we hear every day. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you. You can get bad news, and how many's ever had bad news? If you haven't, you will. That's really a dumb question to ask this many people. We've always had bad news. You'll get bad news before Jesus comes. I don't like it, neither do you. But you know what? You'll get back up if you're persuaded that God is going to help you. And if you fall down and you slide back and you go back to the old mess, if you go back to the gutter, you'll just get back up and go on if you're persuaded. And if you're not, then you'll get your little party hat and you'll set your house and pull the shades and have yourself a little pity party all by yourself. And then you get so mad you can't even stand yourself. Pity parties are just bad. Awful. But when you get the, I am persuaded that my God will never forsake me. Never, ever, ever. He said, I'll always be there for you. I will never forsake you, ever leave you alone. When you're convinced of that, I may be alone. I may have fallen, but he said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you, my daughter, my son, ever. You're broke and you're busted and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's because you're not persuaded, Eeyore. If you're persuaded, what's God's promise say? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. That's what my God's going to do. I know how he is. That's what he does. So nobody else can convince you. Well, I lost my job, Pastor. You don't know. Well, guess what? Just get back up. And if you are persuaded, he knows where you belong, and you can trust him with a shut door. Some of the very best prayers I've ever had answered was a shut door, because it protected me from going into the wrong place. And it brought me, hallelujah, into the right place. So it's all right, you'll get up. Well, you know, people's told me, it's never been done before. Larger churches than you, they've never had that kind of revival come to them. Listen, I'm not talking about a revival in the four walls. We're talking about a global outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, y'all don't know about the Holy Spirit? He said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on who? All flesh. Whether you're good, whether you're evil, listen. He said, everybody will experience. Everybody. COVID came in like a flood, and it shut down everything. And everybody knew COVID came from hell, and everybody knew the devil was behind it. We knew that. So he just always tries to bring, he brings a substitute in front of one of God's mighty outpourings. Whatever miracle God's going to do, he always tries to jump ahead and distract. So I can tell you right now, this is going to be a global phenomenon of his glory. And he said it will come on the earth and it'll cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. When is that going to happen? When darkness covers the earth and gross darkness comes on the people. Wouldn't you say gross darkness is on the people today? So we know, you couldn't change my mind, I am persuaded that Portland, Chicago, L.A., where all they're burning down ICE units, they're burning down police cars, they're burning down precincts, they're burning down homes, they're burning down homes, they're shooting up churches, they're doing all these things. But I tell you, church, this glory is going to cover all of them. They'll see it. They'll see it, and listen to this, and they will all know that this move is from heaven. They'll know it's from heaven, and they'll know who's behind it. They'll know God is behind it. So I just want to tell you that when the goosebumps are gone and you're all alone, your three words are what? I am persuaded that my God knows me and he'll take care of me. And I'll start closing now. Restaurants will all be waiting on you when it's over, because Diane hasn't fixed us a roast dinner today. There's two different camps in the church. One are those who are persuaded, and the other camp is in the one that's not persuaded. One thinks they can because of Jesus, and the other one has no hope. Whose camp are you in? God anointed two great men. He anointed David, and he anointed Saul. He anointed them both, but when they faced the giant, one of them took off running. And the other one, that was of the camp of the ones who persuaded, he cut his head off. He took his head off. One thought, I can do it, and the other one thought, I can't do it. It's a big difference, church, to say, I am persuaded. Not because of me, but because I can do what? All things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So David knew that he could do that. And if you're persuaded that he is exceedingly abundantly above all he will do, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, then you'll be persuaded. And if you don't believe it, if you really believe that, then you'd have a good prayer life. You say, man, I'm going to get down there and talk to him because he can do all this, man. He'll go above even what I say. And I know this is really hard to say this, but many are more persuaded with what the doctor says than what God says. The word says, by his stripes you are healed. Is everybody healed? No. Do I understand it? No. But I'm just saying, when you get bad news at the doctor, you've just got to say, but I know the truth, and hold on to it. That's all you have to do. It's not your determination to determine what happens, but you hold on, and you keep your mind, and you keep your persuasion with what Jesus says and not what the doctor says. Oh, some people, and you know what happens, they'll get online, start calling their BFF, and what do you think, and doctor says you have this. And a lot of saints in the church today, they won't even tell you when they're going to have surgery. You know why they won't tell you? You know why. Somebody's going to tell them, oh, my uncle had that, and he's dead. My aunt had it, and she died. She didn't make it. So that's why people are like, oh, I'm not, Pastor, don't tell them to pray for me, because I just can't take all their. It's true, y'all know it is. Yeah, so don't go online, man. You'll hear it all. Go to your BFF, believe them. They never had it like you announced to have it, so who are they to tell you? But church, I'll tell you what. If you're thinking about a divorce, don't go to somebody that's been married 10 times. They'll say, do it. But see what the Lord says. See if he's going to help you. Now, if you're being beaten up at home and your children are being abused, I'd say get out. But, you know, don't be ignorant. Use wisdom. But hear what the Lord says. But I want to just tell you this before we close. Church, I'm absolutely persuaded that he will save your sons and your daughters that are lost. You got sons and daughters that are lost and maybe even in prison. You have no idea how God would do it, and if he did, when would he do it, and who would he use? You don't even have to worry about that. Just be persuaded that your household will be saved, amen? And I'm absolutely persuaded that he's going to heal us and deliver us and change our hearts and change our minds. I'm absolutely persuaded of that. I know that he will, and I'm persuaded that in these last days, he is going to return to earth and get us. Some people in the church today don't even believe in the rapture. Before I came off the road, pastors were already teaching that there was no rapture of the church. And so you're hearing all these things, but you be fully persuaded. Don't believe the lies of the devil, because you want to be ready to go when Jesus returns. Or you won't be ready if you're not fully persuaded. Hallelujah. Okay, one last verse. Can I read you one? Just give me that last verse in Galatians, please. This one is so powerful. I remember giving this to a backslidden pastor one time. And I sent it to him, but he never answered me. Until I ran on to him one day at the store. And he said, that scripture shook me so hard. He said, I didn't immediately come back to God then, but I did later. Look at this, please. You ran well, Paul talking. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Give me a couple of more scriptures there, down to verse 9. Who hindered you? No, that one right after verse 8, please. I want to start back at verse 7 so we can read that all together, okay? 7, 8, and 9. You ran well, talking to the people of God. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Okay, there's another persuasion, but that's not from God. He says, a little leaven will spoil. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can get a little lie, a little demon, and receive that lie, and it will just tear your whole body, soul, and spirit up. So he said, you were doing so good. But he says, I'm seeing you kind of messy now. Take it back to verse 8. Who hindered you? And then it says, this persuasion does not come from him who called you. So when you're talking with people, listen closely that you don't put a lie on your head, because we just can't receive that, because then your understanding will fight with your persuasion. And you can't be persuaded by the lie of an enemy. And if your mind is filled with doubt, then you're going to be persuaded that God won't do it. And he said, that's certainly not from me. So you don't want to believe that. So church, when God's people get so persuaded that God is all powerful, we'll see the hope of glory come to us. Hallelujah. Would you stand on your feet? Bless the Lord. You know what? If you look online or you hear somebody say, oh, that sickness can never be healed. People are never healed from cancer. I just want to tell you, do not tell Jesus that. Don't tell him you can't heal from cancer. If they tell you, well, I don't know, you know, I've never seen anyone delivered from homosexuality. Don't tell Jesus that. He died for the homosexual. He died for the prostitute. He died for the drunkard. He died for the addicted. Doesn't matter what kind of slave it was. He died for them. Don't you dare tell Jesus they can't be saved or they can't be healed. Sure they can. And don't you ever tell them, I just don't know if my son or daughter will ever be saved. Don't tell him. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter to me what others believe. It just doesn't matter to me. I'm persuaded that this is it. Okay, I'm just persuaded right here that we will see, Brother Sal, the impossible made possible. And the only way, and we see that in our personal lives. And we see that by being fully persuaded. Somebody say, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Lainey Doyle and I used to sing a song when we were on the road called Typical Day. The song prophesied that one day the healings, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and the impossibilities made possible would just be a typical day in the lives of a child of God. Amen. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? Oh, dear Lord, we offer up to you our minds, our souls, our spirit, and our bodies. Lord, we always need you in every area of our lives. Help us, Jesus, to be fully persuaded. If one says, I am not persuaded that God can do this thing, God, may they repent today and leave that alone and come into a new place. Are you here today, my brother or sister, and you say, you know what, Pastor, I just need to believe this. You know, I haven't been persuaded. I'm not persuaded. I was doing pretty good, but I was persuaded another way. Can I give my life back to Jesus today? Of course you can. Of course you can. And it doesn't take him long to change you. I mean, in the twinkling of an eye, he forgives us and changes us and loves us, wraps his arm around us and takes us to another place. Anyone today say, Pastor, I need that big change. I need to turn it around. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Okay, I just wanted to give you that freedom, that chance to say I need help. Would you go ahead and pray this prayer with me? I just want to make sure we're all okay, all right? Let's just pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I surrender my entire being to you. My body, my soul and spirit, I surrender all. Come and live with me, Jesus. I repent of my sins, whether I know what they are or I really don't. I'm asking you to help me, wash me clean, and make me whole. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Would anyone just like prayer right now? You see, Pastor, I'm looking at something impossible. I need a miracle. I need a miracle, like, really soon. Just slip your hand up. Hey, I see you back there, honey. I see you, Connie. See you. Anyone else? Come on, be honest. We're in the presence of the Lord right now. Yeah. Lord, we are a miracle-needing people. But Lord, you have more miracles than we have needs. And God, all we see is an uplifted hand. But you see that terrible thing that's intimidating your sweet people. It's trying to intimidate the truth of the word that says it will happen. So I call their miracle to these who have their hands up. Lord, please don't let it go way out there. You said hope deferred makes a heart sick. Oh, but when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. Father, may we rejoice. Lord, as the hostages are coming home, there will be many families overfilled with joy. But these that have been honest today and lifted their hands are just as important to you as a hostage held 130 feet below the earth. Everyone's important, whether it's financial, marital, family, children, mental. Lord, only you know. But in the name that is above every name that is named, I call forth a miracle right now at this hour. Only you can do this, Lord. We can't. We can't do it, but you can, Lord. And may we be totally and fully persuaded that what you have said, you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, those of you that lifted your hands, let's all lift up both hands and give God praise and thank Him for hearing us. Lord, you have heard us and we praise you. Come on, open your mouth and just say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let him hear you out loud, thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's a universal word of praise. Hallelujah. If you don't know what else to say, use that word. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Let me bless you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and your family and all that pertains to you. And may he keep you and cause his great bright countenance to shine upon you. May you be blessed, healthy, prospered, and whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for being at Landmark today.